Okay, next slide. Number seven, the fashion of force. Power backed by force has often been described as an iron fist in a velvet glove. Iron fist in a velvet glove. The velvet is fraying. We had a wonderful Saleri report this year with Joseph Farrell on the breakaway civilization. And I like to have those kinds of reports because many people, when I talk about what has been developed with a black budget and invisible weaponry and the kind of things you see in the various Bourne movies or the enemy of the state, you know, it's all in the movies. It helps you to understand the history of this kind of funding and technology and how things got this wild without many of us realizing it. If anything brought home the fashion of force this year, it was the mass shootings, first in Aurora, Colorado, and then in Sandy Hook. We've had various subscribers going back to listen to great Saleri reports I did on mind control and entrainment technology. In fact, we had a wonderful offer at Christmas to gift a month with all the wrap-ups in the January period. And what I've noticed is a lot of subscribers pointing their friends to the mind control and entrainment technology and the other ones that will help them understand these kind of mass shootings. I give, and you know me, I'm always hedging my bets. I'm not this time. I think there's a 100% chance that both of these shootings were covert operations. I think most, if not all, of the shootings are. My guess is that Sandy as well, or the response to Sandy, was also a covert operation. Some of the draw too. There was a very interesting story from New Zealand this week. It's up on the blog. A New Zealand researcher documents that the U.S. government had successfully tested creating tsunamis with nuclear weapons, which takes us back to my story about why I thought the Indonesian tsunami was, or people were trading it, trading on inside information, trading the tsunami a week before it happened. We did a big blog post on control files this year, and then had a Saleri report on the Franklin cover-up to help explain the Penn State and British network scandals on pedophilia, the Franklin cover-up being a very famous pedophilia scandal, very much roped into control files on politicians in Washington. And I've tried to help you understand the extent to which those kinds of control files really are determining policy and the implementation of policy in Washington. If you look at all the senators and congressmen, a lot of those folks have control files. And if they don't have control files, they're under threat of, you know, an effort to pretend they do. There's nothing like false allegations in the media to run you out of town, as I can attest to personally. So the force that these folks are under and the threat of force is becoming more and more obvious, more and more violent. I made an effort. I'd watched The Dark Knight Rising, the third in the Batman trilogy from Christopher Nolan, this summer when it came out in the theaters, and really didn't find it particularly interesting. But Rappaport has been writing an excellent series throughout December on gun control, and it got me to go back and watch The Dark Knight movie and take it much more seriously. And I found, after watching it for about three times, I really went to town on it. I found myself liking it much better and taking it more seriously. I did a series several years ago on the Saleri Report on The Godfather, and the power of The Godfather series to help you understand the relationship between street crime and the boardroom. And if you look at the cash flows coming off of street crime are so absolutely critical to leveraging the securities markets and the derivative markets. And the laundering of that money is so important to those markets. And there's a very tight correlation between what is going on the street and what is going on in the boardroom. Again and again and again, when you research organized crime in this country, what you'll find is a group of soccer moms trying to back the narcotics dealers out of their neighborhood can't. And the next thing you know, they have black helicopters coming down on their head because, in fact, in a very centralized model, you can't afford for one county to get out of the tithing of the of the drug cash flows into central headquarters. And in fact, the black budget and all sorts of sensitive, high-tech, very sophisticated global operations are dependent on those cash flows coming from the street. And you see that theme again in Dark Knight Rising, the relationship between what's going on in the street and the boardroom, and it tightens it up a lot. In the movie, we have a nuclear bomb underneath New York. It's a wonderful metaphor for, in fact, the fact that New York is sitting on a financial bomb, and what we're watching with Basel III and the other federal financial regulation and the reengineering of the federal budget is a real dramatic cut down in the financial sector. The financial sector has grown tremendously as a part of the economy, well beyond serving its useful purpose. And as we saw with the indictments against the investigation against Goldman Sachs, a lot of deals that make absolutely no sense for any fundamental economic purpose in the real economy, they just keep the paper pyramid sort of up and floating and churning. And so New York is going through a very ugly process, and Sandy, in fact, is, sort of the material metaphor for what's happening in the financial sector. The financial sector in New York is going through a real tightening up and beatdown because, in fact, if everything is a federal credit and a bailout, then government's going to control. In Dark Knight Rising, one personal note, the hero has dirty tricks, steal his company and his money, gets beaten up and then thrown in the pit, and then manages to find his way out. And I can tell you, having lived through the process, the moral of the story is a good one. You can get yourself out of the pit, and so you might as well get up and get going and get out of the pit. But it's a very interesting story of the relationship between the boardroom and the organized crime and the extent to which it's tightening up.